There's a smart new website that will change the way you invest using social media.
Likefolio.
Here to explain, a team of brothers, Andy and Landon Swan, of Likefolio.
And they've always been building out great technology at the intersection of social and trading.
Powered by unique social data. Analyzed by legendary traders. The Likefolio broadcast starts right now.
What's up? We are live at the market close today. I kind of like this time slot.
Yeah, market close is nice.
Yeah.
Depending on your day.
True. Yeah, depending on your day. If you were caught short today, I feel sorry for you. Because, man, we opened up, what, down 500 points?
Yeah, it looked good for you initially, and then we had a massive recovery.
Oh, yeah. So, and a lot of it's on this trade war talk with China and stuff like that. So kind of tough to keep it all together. But we've got a few tips for looking at crazy markets. In fact, I think this morning I was kind of I was trying to give a little bit of a hint out there that I didn't think that this kind of headline move was sustainable to the downside. It just doesn't really make sense to me that the market would move down 500 points on the idea that China's going to put a 25% tariff on soybeans, on food coming into their hungry country.
Sure.
Right? Sounds like a big bluff to me. And we've got a president that loves to double down, good or bad, whatever you think of that, but he does love to double down. And he did. He said, like he tweeted this morning, when you're already down $500 billion, there's nothing left to lose.
I saw that
or something,
tweet.
Talking about the trade deficit with China.
Yeah.
And wow, that was when the market was down 560 points. What did it end up? It ended up going green on the day.
Yeah.
But
we're up about 1% on the day, a little over 1%.
Yeah. So down 2% to open, up
nice
1% to
gain.
Close. Yeah. So
pretty significant turnaround. Absolutely.
Yeah. And we've just got. Wild fluctuations in the market. And last week on the Likefolio letter, we sent out, a big portion of that letter was tips for dealing with volatile markets. And so I thought we'd talk about each of the points today on the show and see if there's something that we can learn from each other and, hopefully the audience can learn from us. So,
number one is, sticks out to me, like, just when you say volatile markets, that's for me decreasing position sizes.
So number one is decreased position size.
That one jumps out because whatever you've got, you're used to a swing in your account of a certain amount of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it gets really crazy, you can correct for that by just, if it's twice as crazy as normal, just have half the position as normal. So then it's the same kind of swings in your mind. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
That's right. It's all about dollars in your account.
That's what people look
Absolutely.
At.
Absolutely.
They don't look at, I'm down 1.8% today. No, I'm down whatever number that is to your account. I'm down $3,000 or $50, whatever it is, it means a lot to you. And if it's super volatile, just decrease your position size, which sometimes means taking losers, which is why people don't do it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And the other thing is, like, this morning, if the market's down 500 or 600 points, okay, it's a major move down. If you have your normal position size on, like it's a normal market, then 500 or 600 points down is an enormous move that could force you out of positions right at the open,
mm-hmm.
you know, and get you scared. But if you're at half or 70% of normal position size because VIX and volatility is higher,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's going to mean less to, you're going to react less emotionally to that exact same move.
You've got more duration. You could see what happens.
Yeah. I think in the thing I said, 50 is the new 30.
Yeah, it's kind of a twofold thing. You know, it reduces your emotional response and kind of minimizes your emotional reaction to that type of move. And it reduces your margin risk as far as, you know, getting a margin call,
yeah.
especially if you're an options trader and you're short
right.
premium. You know, if you have naked shorts out there and you have the significant downside move in the marketplace, that always it correlates, or that always, you know, is coupled with a large spike in volatility, in which case your buying power effect in your options positions can be dramatically impacted.
Mm-hmm. So if you have naked puts, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you have, if you have a large cash, you know, a large amount of your portfolio utilized, you know, a large amount of your cash utilized, and you have this significant spike in implied volatility, then you can get a margin call. You can be over 100%.
Yeah. Just like that.
Buying power effect.
Right. Yeah.
Just like that. So you got to decrease your position size. Sounds like we all agree on that one.
Right.
And I suggest for people to just go ahead and do that now. Like, we have enough evidence since the end of January, really, that there are major moves happening in the market on a almost weekly basis. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of them are politics driven. Some of them are earnings or, you know, news from Facebook, whatever. It doesn't matter. The market is definitely not, you know, just straight up and to the right 30 points a day like it was, mm-hmm. you know, for the last year. And so you got to get out of that
unsustainable.
That
the unsustainable bull train is over.
Right, right.
And if you have positions, you have a lot of positions going on, how do you decrease position size? Do you think you should just get out of half of everything, half in the number of shares or position or options, or should you be strategic in which ones you do?
I think that's kind of dependent on what your, you know, when you entered that position and what your, you know, your goal for that position was. So if you entered the position a few days ago, then obviously you don't want to knock out. You should have entered with that mindset of
right.
limiting your exposure yeah. on that position. But if you,
the
if these are positions,
taking this point, they're like, all right, I need to decrease.
Yeah.
Let's talk to the guy who's like looking at today and kind of shaking. He's a little shell shocked.
Sure.
What should you do? Should you just half everything, taking some losers, taking some winners, and just be calm tomorrow with half the size or three-fourths the size or whatever it is?
You know what I would do? I don't know that I would do it. What I would advise myself to do,
right, very different,
is I would look through the positions and I would look for the ones that cause me the most pain and heartache, and I would get rid of them completely.
Yeah, I would say eliminate the drama.
Yeah, just eliminate the drama from my account.
It's a good life thing.
Yeah, you know,
cut her loose.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, if someone's causing you trouble, just cut them loose. And it's the same thing for positions, because everybody has that one stock or that one position that is constantly, when they wake up in the morning, that's the first line in the portfolio update that they look at.
It's probably on a stock that has gotten the better of them in the past, and yeah. they want to get it back.
Yeah. Oh, I've had those. So work. I've had so many of those. It's just ridiculous.
You just got to give up. Fight a different
battle. You really
battle.
Do.
That ticker is not your friend.
You need to put it on your no trade list.
Right.
My no trade list got so big, I had to throw it away because I wasn't going to trade anything anymore.
Yeah. I've been there.
Yep.
The second point on this list, I think, this may help. I don't know if you guys will agree with this one. You know, for me, this is the way I think of it, is to lean bearish. I've just
absolutely 100% agree with that.
I just feel like when volatility starts moving higher, it's the down moves that are faster and more likely to catch you off guard.
For sure.
And so I want to lean bearish. And if, you know, if markets skyrocket to new highs overnight, that would first of all be very weird and very unusual. But also, I can accept that risk of loss right. easier than I can accept kind of having these warning signals that something's weird in the market and still being too over-leveraged long.
Agree.
Right. Generally, markets go up slowly and down quickly. So if you're afraid of the quick, nasty move, lean bearish.
Yeah.
On average, markets tend to go down 3 times faster than they go.
3 times, really?
Yes, based on a study that, you know, who knows, that was a study I read like 15 years ago. I don't know if that's true now, but I think it probably is, because when you look at how quickly down moves can erase long-term up moves, I mean, it can literally be 2 days that can erase 2 years worth of uptrending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It makes sense to lean bearish. I mean, when we start to see what we're seeing now, we've talked about it in a few episodes prior to this, but we've seen such a consistent, slow churn to the upside.
Yep.
And we saw a little bit of volatility entering the marketplace, which we even mentioned that was likely a signal that we're getting ready to enter a volatile market environment.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, you have to lean bearish when you're entering into this, coming out of that slow churn bullish. Yep. You have to lean bearish. You have to expose yourself to long volatility premium positions. and you know, and then sell premium when you get quick spikes in the VIX, because as we've seen lately, those have been quick. You know, we'll see a pop to 25 and then it'll pull back to 20 real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So just trade, yeah. Man, trade. Don't hold.
I agree.
This is a trader's market.
This is a trader's market. This is a stock picker's market. This is a direction picker's market. You have to be decent now. You can't be a lazy ETF wannabe, I don't think.
Mm-mm.
People will disagree with me on that, but you know, they'll say don't get shaken out and all this stuff. But look, I'm here to make money every day. You know, I'm not trying to worry about what things are going to be when I'm 65 years old and all this nonsense. So
yeah.
That's just me. And if that's not you, this might not be the show for you, just to be clear. You know, if you want a show where we talk about ETFs and holding until you're 65 years old, you could just tune into the Nature Channel and watch a panda sleep for 12 hours. Like, it's going to be the same amount of content.
Not exciting.
Not exciting.
So, I mean, speaking of ETFs and traders markets, we could go over just a few that have jumped out to me as like really good implied volatility trading stocks right now.
Hit it. Well, first, I want to go through the next two just really quickly because they're pretty quick. I think the third one is to avoid headlines. And by that, I really mean avoid believing headlines. Like, avoid becoming convinced about headlines. We've talked about this before, the way these editors work and so on. It's a pile-on effect because that's what get the clicks. So just, you know, take all headlines with a grain of salt. In fact, like this morning, I thought it was a great opportunity when every headline was screaming about trade wars with China over soybeans that, you know, probably this market downdraft was not going to hold for the day. So it was actually like not just avoid the headline, but use it to your advantage as a contrarian indicator. Then the fourth, you know, stay data driven. And that's a little bit of a plug for Likefolio because that's what we do. Our memberships are great at that. But, you know, you want to have a solid thesis for getting into a trade. You want to have a reason for being in it that is built around something other than a headline you read or emotion that you have.
If you're just throwing darts and you're trying to feel your way through it, you're going to get shaken out.
It's going to be tough.
You're going to be wrong.
Yeah. So I like being data driven.
If it's not data like ours, then it's something, technical analysis or sales or whatever, something that
some combination of those things.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
Yeah. I think that's critical. And make sure you're getting this Likefolio letter. Where are we at? Which camera are we at?
Right here.
This one. Make sure you're getting this Likefolio letter because it's good stuff. Just go to Likefolio.com, bottom of the page, plug in your email address. It's completely free, and we'll make sure you get the next edition, which probably will be either tomorrow or Friday. I'm traveling to Chicago. So, Nick, tell us about these opportunities that you were seeing.
All right. So let's go ahead and share the screen here. And first thing I wanted to kind of update what we talked about last week on SPY. We looked at like a two-year uptrend. There was two different trend lines. One was, you know, that churned a little bit better. The other one was we're taking into factor a couple more volatile moves. So we have retested that secondary one that takes into equation the volatile moves, sitting right on it, which is coupled with the 200-day simple moving average. To me, this is a really strong level. And if SPY breaks through this, then the market's going to be in big trouble. For now, it's holding it, and today it bounced off real quick after basically breaking below both the 200-day moving average and the uptrend support that we talked about. So everybody's heard of FANG, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've got Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google, right?
I usually throw a second A in there for Apple.
Yeah, that's valid.
FANG!
I would like to introduce to you a new one based on implied volatility.
All right.
FAINT. FAINT.
All right. I like it.
So the F is Facebook still. And the implied volatility levels are, we're at 85% IV percentile. So the IV levels are about 40% right now, which is big for Facebook. So definitely a premium selling opportunity here. We've seen significant downside. So maybe consider selling puts. Maybe consider selling a strangle if you don't have a directional bias. Not sure I would sell calls here after it's dipped so significantly. We got earnings coming up here in a few days. So it's definitely very tradable.
That's Facebook?
Facebook.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we've got Amazon. You know, the FA is staying the same. Amazon at significant implied volatility levels, 82 percentile. This one, you know, you can always sell puts in Amazon, right? But with Trump targeting, what's going on? What do you guys think about Amazon with this Trump accident going on?
I like it. I don't think it has much staying power. I don't really think it's an attack on Amazon as much as it is the Washington Post and Jeff Bezos happening to own that,
sure,
and going after that cash cow behind the Washington Post. So I think that's it. It's not really like a real threat to Amazon, in my opinion.
I like it. Next one, the I is for Intel, which is typically a pretty boring stock, right? Implied volatility levels, 90% percentile. And the stock has just been kind of churning, but the IV has been cranking up. We do have earnings coming up, but it's way higher than usual IV into an earnings event. So we've got some significant opportunity.
Well, everything's
here.
Higher than normal, right? Is that the point of putting Intel in there? Is that it's normally boring and you want to see if it's also kind of going crazy?
Yeah, it's kind of above average where it usually is. I mean, I haven't seen Intel implied volatility at these levels for a few years. So we're talking about, you know, a pretty significant event here.
Yep.
And even though the IV levels are only about 35-40%, that's big for Intel. That's usually, you know, snoring around 10%, 10-15%. 20 is usually pretty high for Intel.
Got it.
So it's basically double.
I wish you wouldn't have done this at the close. I want to go sell some stuff.
Well, I mean, you got plenty of time the next few days. This is a premium seller's mark, I'm telling you.
All right.
I'm telling you. And then the N is for Netflix, which has basically, you know, we're in the 90 IV percentile here.
Love it.
Been churning sideways, earnings coming up here. But again, it's way above what it usually is going into earnings. Usually it's around 35-40%. And right now it's 60%.
So, wow.
And then the T is for? What's your
guess? Tesla.
Yes.
Nice.
T is for Tesla, which we've already traded. And it had a major spike up to about 80 and has dipped quite a bit back down to about 70% IV right now. The IV percentile is also 70. And the stock has recovered quite a bit after the autopilot scare in the Model S. And Model X, I believe.
Yeah.
But they recalled a bunch of Model S's. They did a huge recall.
That was for steering problems.
What happened?
So there was a combination of steering issues, some bolt, and they were being proactive on the Model S recall. And then there was a video that came out with this Model S autopilot issue. Basically, the Model S almost drove off the freeway and ran straight into one of those barricades that when you're going on an on-ramp or off-ramp.
Yeah.
Where it splits, and then right there in the middle,
yeah,
almost ran into one of those concrete walls.
Well, it did. Like that, those people were just recreating the scene. So what happened was a guy got killed in autopilot, being a Tesla that was on autopilot, and he didn't heed the warnings to put his hands on the steering wheel and those sorts of things. But they were warnings that always kind of happen, right?
Ignorable.
I think. I don't know. I haven't done autopilot in a Tesla, but it sounded like this is a warning that comes on after 6 seconds of not having your hands on the steering wheel. So it's like something that you just, if you normally drive without your hands on the steering wheel on autopilot, you would ignore that.
Right.
But anyway, and if he would have been watching the road, he had plenty of time to make a decision or change what happened, but he ended up going, bam, right into one of those split off barricades. Mm. Terrible. Got killed. So another person went out in their Tesla and did, I believe, this may not be right, but I believe is the exact same ramp or something very similar to it. Not sure. I think it was the exact same ramp. And they YouTubed it. And they had their hands off the steering wheel. And you can watch the Tesla just headed right for that thing, dead on course for this thing. And they barely stopped it in time, even though they were paying attention. Because they couldn't believe what was happening, kind of.
Yeah, he kind of dropped his camera a little bit.
Yeah.
I was wondering if it was like doctored. I was like, did this guy just make this up? But now that you're saying it, he was probably panicking.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, this is actually really happening.
Yeah, he's stopping.
I need to put my foot on the brake and stop paying attention to his recording.
So Tesla autopilot is not perfect.
Sure.
Is what we've learned.
Which, you know, we have to assume.
Of course not, but man, you no other car. You know, highway, that's pretty good conditions.
Oh, it was great conditions on the video. I mean, the conditions were not to blame. Don't you agree, Nick? Like, it was purely Tesla misreading the autopilot feature, misreading the road.
Yeah, it was definitely the code and the, you know, whatever the systems. Ooh. It was the systems error.
Yeah,
100%.
And you got that. You got Model 3 production problems. We're gonna do a report on Tesla. I think for next week's show, we'll get deep into Tesla.
Yeah,
because we got some consumer data. We got some investor cash tag data. We got like a lot of cool stuff in terms of Tesla. But it's awesome that the IV is that high right now.
And the funny thing to me was, you know, last week is when we saw the stuff we were just talking about reflected into the stock price. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday, April Fool's, was it Sunday?
Or yeah.
Elon Musk came out with the Twitter bankruptcy joke. Like, did you see that?
No, I didn't see
that. Oh, man. Yeah, he came out and acted like they'd gone bankrupt as the April Fool's joke. And, I mean, it was an obvious joke, but the street did not like it at all.
Uh-uh.
So the stock opened down 7% on Monday, and the implied volatility ticked back up to all-time highs. Mm-hmm. That's when I attacked and sold a bunch of puts. But
yeah,
it was pretty interesting to see the market react to an obvious joke. But I guess they were just kind of factoring everything in. They're like, man, we got this proactive recall. We got these autopilot issues, and now we got the CEO like trying to make fun of the whole situation.
And by the way, the company's not meeting targets on rolling Model 3s off the line.
That's a big, by the way.
It's kind of like,
it's not like this is a bad time. They're like really, really off.
This is a bad time to be joking about going bankrupt.
Very bad time.
So they can hear him say that, and they're like, so that's what it would sound like. I could see that.
Or they're just like, maybe this guy's losing it a little bit.
Like, yeah.
maybe the pressure's getting to him. I don't think that's what's happening, but there's like, you have to convince people to want to own your stock. You know, it's not like the default is to own stock in a company or to own part of your company. So if any seeds of doubt that you're putting in people's minds as to your clarity or what's your priority or whatever, is it's just not great when things are going bad. If the stock was at all-time highs and Model 3s were rolling off the production line and people were lined up outside of every Tesla around the country, then you make that joke. It's a funny joke.
Right.
But when you're having all these problems, it's not a funny joke. It's context. He did not have joke immunity for that one. He didn't have joke immunity. Okay, cool. So that'll be next week. We'll deep dive into Tesla.
I agree. Very poor timing on that one by Elon.
Yeah. But we'll get into it. We'll see if there's opportunity there. And then... which clearly there is, because the IV is up and the stock is moving, which is what we always like. So Landon is Landon and I are both headed to Chicago, but Landon's going to be the one on stage. Tell us about that.
I think so, because on Friday you are doing.
Oh, that's right.
You tell them about that. What is it?
Oh, yeah. Friday morning I will be on the TDA network. From the studio, live in the studio. We've done it remotely before. And so I'm going to go into the studio and dominate Oliver from both a physical stature standpoint, a handsomeness standpoint,
oh boy,
and probably articulation of key factors in the stock market. And
you had to say that well. You had to say the articulation phrase really well. Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a risky
move. You passed. That was risky.
That's Friday morning, I think.
I'm gonna dominate in articulating of stuff things.
Yeah.
It'd been way better if he was like, I'm trying to say.
So that means I get the stage. You get the TV, I get the stage. So that's cool. That's on Saturday. So if you're in the Chicago area, make sure you come by. It is, it starts at, registration opens at 8. It starts at 9. It is at the Hilton Chicago, 720 South Michigan Avenue, on April 7th, this Saturday. So if you're a TDA client, it's free for you, and it's really cool. There is a lot of good stuff. They're actually doing a new thing. I don't know if you've been there when they did this, where they break it out.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that in Miami.
It goes from 9 until 3, and about halfway through, they split it up into kind of more beginner stuff and more advanced stuff. So it's, you get what you want. And some of the stuff is, I really like when Scott Thompson talks about how options work and like odds of a successful trade versus the risk, things like that. And then JJ always crushes it at the end. So it's really cool. I'll be on just after 1 o'clock. So, you'll be able to learn about like folio data and some of the basics around how to trade on social sentiment, social signals.
Yeah, cool. And I'll be there as well.
We'll both be there. So afterwards, come up and we'll clink glasses and talk bourbon and trading.
Yeah, if you saw us on the podcast or on the show, let us know for sure. So that's Saturday. Good show. Next week, we'll talk Tesla, and that'll be awesome.
Very cool.
Good stuff. We'll get out of here now and get on up to the Windy City.
Yep.
All right, see y'all.